1, 2, 1, 2, testing the mic. My name is Elvis, the main ace, and it's good to be back on the podcast, How to Get Away with Slander. That's right, I'm your host, and this is episode 7 or 8. Don't remember. Thank you so much, everyone who is taking time out to check out the podcast. For everyone who has listened on Audio Mac, I appreciate you. For everyone who streamed on every other podcast platform, I really appreciate you as well. Today is going to be a brief podcast. I know there's a lot to go through, but we'll try as much as we can to keep it brief. Today is the 4th of July, the day Americans are supposed to be celebrating Independence Day. But, you know, in solidarity with our African brothers who are citizens of the United States, who over the course of over 400 years have not been treated with dignity and respect and with all the rights that come with being a citizen of the United States of America, even though in their constitution it states clearly that all men are created equal. We all know that Africans in the United States do not get equal treatment, and that's why the Black Lives Matter is such a big deal now, and the struggle for the emancipation, the liberation from systematic or systemic oppression continues. Even on this day, which is the 4th of July, that usually is a day to celebrate independence in America, our African brothers are not celebrating this year. And as Africans all over the world, I think we should totally stand with them in this fight. The fight has gone global from, you know, sports to entertainment to the world of business. Everybody is standing with Black Lives Matter. Some people mean it. Obviously, some of these businesses do not care and are probably just, you know, donating here and there to Black or African charities or rights movements to look like they actually care, but it doesn't even matter. What matters is that something has been done, progress is being made. And for everyone who genuinely is behind this cause, I salute you. Because all men should be equal and everyone has a right to be treated equally. That's the message. So this morning, I'm definitely standing with the Africans over there who have decided that 4th of July, Independence Day in the United States is canceled. Totally with that. Didn't mean to begin the podcast like that, but never mean to begin the podcast with a rant. These things just always happen. And what can we do? This is a podcast that basically delves into all the shit that I care about. So, yeah, that's right. Now, let me just take a little breather and see what I have in my music folder, something that I can play this week. Because, man, there's a lot of good music out there. Yeah. The other week I played something from Dean and DJ Tunes. They have this fantastic EP out, Love Language Volume 1. I played something from Siki the other day. Well, today I have the pleasure of playing something else from that EP we dropped yesterday. This one is called Lullaby. It's track 2 of that EP. And it features Onos, DJ Tunes, and DJ Dean featuring Onos. The song is called Lullaby. Check this out. We'll be right back. Okay, that's the song from the brand new EP, Love Language, Volume 1, put out by DJ Tunes and, of course, my friend, my brother, DJ Dean. That song features one of the most talented from the spots. His name is Onos. Get familiar with him and check out his catalog. He's got some great music. All right. So, where are we at? Let's get into it, man. Let's get into what's up. Okay, so, man, it's been a crazy week. But this is where I want to start. I want to start from where this lady, who's a Ghanaian actress by the name Aladi Brown, how she stirred up a lot of controversy this week. She began the week in a very controversial manner for a lot of us. No one expected this. No one saw this coming. I don't know where we woke up to the picture circulating and going viral on social media. This picture had actress Aladi Brown with her son, who's quite grown for his age, as a matter of fact. He's looking like a 7 or 8 year old. The Ghanaian actress and video vixen posed in front of the child nude. I know. So anyway, a lot of people were disgusted. I was disgusted as well. Didn't make up any sense at all. Like, why the fuck would you pose naked in front of your child who's already a grown up? Like I said, boy looks like he's 10 or something. Maybe he's just tall. Maybe he just has big bones. But whatever the fuck the reason is, all I'm saying is the guy is a fucking grown ass man. I mean, I know a bit of a bubbly, but I mean, you know, I remember when I was his age, I could tell if a lady was naked and had breastuses and all of that. I knew that person was of a different gender. So she wrote that, "Today reminds me of the very day I give birth to you with no stress and with no regret. 30th June 2013, exactly 4:46 a.m. on Sunday. I still remember this date because it's really meant a lot to me. I only felt the 30-minute pain when you were turning to come out and you were so good to me. I give birth with no complication, blah, blah, blah. No disability, haha, I love you, son, blah, blah, blah." He said, and this is the reason, this is where she gets into it. And she says, "I'm naked in front of you because this is how naked I was giving birth to you. So in case you find me naked, lying somewhere, don't pass me, but rather see me as your mom who brought you to life." Isn't that the most stupid reason anyone can give for traumatizing their child? I honestly think that's the most ridiculous reason. Like, we all, I mean, fuck, man. The boy is going to go to school. He's going to go to biology class. He's going to learn that, you know, when he studies, but when he taught the reproductive system, like we were all taught in maybe secondary school or something, he's going to understand how childbirth works. You don't have to be nude. I mean, our parents didn't have to be nude in front of us, celebrating us, for us to realize that, one, pushing a baby out after 9 months is difficult, and carrying a baby for 9 months is difficult, and that babies come out of women's vagina or women's vaginas. So, you know what I'm saying? So, this is all very unnecessary as far as I'm concerned. The post didn't go down well with anyone. Human rights activist Segun Awosanya said, "Really don't get the drift. So, thanks for bringing him to the world, but no thanks for ruining his childhood with this indecent exposure." Yeah, man. Like, nobody cares. Nobody wants to see their mothers naked. Ew. Stop it, man. I mean, fuck. This is so bad. This was, like, so bad. This was tasteless. Look, man. Very bad decision. And this makes everyone questions whether you're fit enough to be a mother. Because you're obviously going to be making a lot of bad decisions in raising this child. So I really don't think that she's fit to be a mother. And I really think maybe people should intervene. I think people should intervene. Because this woman obviously is not fit to be a mother. Honestly, that's what I think. So in this COVID-19 times, everything and every day we are reminded of this sad reality. And as we continue to grapple to deal with this wicked virus that has interrupted our lives so rudely, worst part is it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Because first of all, the medical people, the experts, they don't seem to be in agreement on anything as regards COVID-19. I mean, remember the controversy about the face masks, and now we are dealing with the controversy of whether or not, because I mean, pretty much it's been established that people should wear face masks, and a lot of people are wearing face masks, but here we are in a situation where we don't know what works, because people are catching this disease at an alarming rate. The numbers are crazy. Look at the number of people that have died of COVID-19 in the US. It's absurd at this moment. It's crossed mad numbers. So we're grappling with what exactly works, right? That's on a global scale. What exactly works? The medicine, as far as treating and managing this thing. Remember when Trump said he was taking hydroxychloroquine and a lot of people shut him down? Well, turns out a lot of medical experts are also in support of hydroxychloroquine. But I think what's happening now is there's a little bit more detail around that whole hydroxychloroquine thing. Because what's happening now is, like, there's a combination of drugs that a lot of people, even medical experts, are advocating for. And this includes hydroxychloroquine 200 milligram twice a day for 5 days, azithromycin 500 milligram once a day for 5 days, and zinc sulfate 220 milligram daily. And also some people suggest B6, vitamin B6, vitamin C as well, and vitamin D. So this is all over Twitter, and I even retweeted one of those combinations. But the thing is, the experts are insisting that this is not the way. Even though some experts have said, you know, this is how we get 95% results with getting people out of the hospital. And while, on the other hand, medical experts are saying this is how we're managing the illness, and people are actually coming out and testifying that this is what they took when they were ill, and this is what helped them through, the medical experts keep, you know, going on. Some medical experts or some people keep saying, nah, this is not the cure. That shit is dangerous. Tests have proven that this has hydroxychloroquine makes it worse. Blah, blah, blah. So while they're going back and forth about hydroxychloroquine, the rest of the world is just confused and wondering what the fuck is the solution to this shit. Because the fact is, people are going to catch COVID-19. A lot of people already have it. What the fuck should they do? Especially when you advise that people should stay in their homes when they're not feeling well. Like, what the fuck are they supposed to do? If the symptoms, you know, like the fever, the body aches and all of that starts, what the fuck are they supposed to do? Now, a vaccine is not in sight. The last time I checked, they said the vaccine was going to come out maybe like in 2021. Like, we don't fucking know what's going on anymore in the world. And the medical experts are really not helping, because they keep going back and forth over what works and what doesn't work. A lot of people obviously have tried this combination and it has worked for them. I'm no medical expert. But I'm thinking that in the absence of a cure, if there is a combination of drugs that works, why is it being understated? And why are people sounding, why are some people sounding like if there's no vaccine, then there's no hope? This is simply just not true, is it? It makes me wonder if there's not an agenda to ensure that there's a vaccine that's produced. And I am no conspiracy theorist or apologist, but I'm beginning to feel like, why do you insist that if it's not a vaccine, then it's a vaccine or nothing? Yeah, I'm not cool with that. That's all I'm saying, man. I'm just not cool with that. Okay, something on a lighter note. Congratulations to Burna for winning Best International Act. Congratulations to you, Burna Boy. Respect, totally deserved. He had a lot of worthy contenders in that category, notably Stormzy and Dave. Those two I thought were great. Both from, well, I think Dave is a Nigerian. Stormzy obviously has Ghanaian roots, but of course British acts, both of them, I think. I mean, and they put out fantastic projects. Like, if you haven't listened to Dave's project, you probably should. Dave has a fantastic album. I listened to Dave's album. I totally loved it, man. And, you know, a lot of British rappers, and this is no knock on British rappers, when they rap, it's kind of hard for you to comprehend sometimes because of the, you know, how strong that accent can be sometimes. And a few words might be lost on you, but not Dave. Dave is very, very clear. That clarity that Dave brings, I really like that. Stormzy, of course, we all know he had a fantastic run. He had a fantastic last 12 months or so. I mean, On It is a monster hit. Before that, there were a couple of other singles he threw out there that did pretty good. So, yeah, worthy contenders and heavyweight contenders for that matter. But Burna Boy, he clinched it. So that's a big deal. Congratulations to you, Burna Boy. Okay, well, so I don't know if you heard, but the Lagos State Government recently announced that people can, I think they approved a couple of labs. Yeah, back to the COVID-19 thing. I'm sorry, but yeah, we got to talk about this shit, man. It's real. They approved a couple of labs, just a handful, I think three or four labs, where COVID-19 tests can be done, which is a good thing. But what's sad is that you need about 54,000 naira or 50,000 to be able to get tested. And you're going to have to wait a couple of days to get results, man. And I'm thinking, bro, how many Nigerians can afford 54,000 naira, bro? This doesn't even include drugs. I'm talking about the tests. So, nah. No, we're not celebrating that. Nothing to celebrate there. Okay, this week I think I also learned that 5 Nigerian governors have tested positive for COVID-19. And add to that, this morning, the Benue State governor's wife has tested positive and his son has also tested positive. So yeah, it's happening in high places as well. It's not an illness for just regular folk like you and I. Even the rich get COVID-19 too. It's spreading like wildfire, and someone said this should be a lesson because, you know, Ajimobi died. Rest in peace to him. Passed away last week, and people were saying, you know what, well, he owed salaries, he didn't pay for months, blah, blah, blah. People are now saying all kinds of stuff, all kinds of negative stuff about the guy. At least I've seen a lot of negative stuff online on Twitter about him. He's not the only one. I mean, people are knocking our politicians, knocking our ministers, and knocking a lot of people. A commissioner of health in another state actually died from COVID-19 as well. So it's happening to the high and mighty in society and the privileged, or the ones with affluence. And nobody's immune to this shit, pun intended. So, yeah, it's sad, and rest in peace to everyone who has passed away. But this is hoping that, you know, when you're placed in a position to actually make a difference, you actually take it seriously, because that shit might be what saves your life tomorrow. Think about it. Like, if governors actually use the monies that they have at their disposal to actually equip hospitals and clinics and shit like that, maybe a lot less people would have died. And maybe if the federal government actually gave a fuck about our health institutions and equipped our health centers, because think about it, the number of Nigerians who are doctors saving lives of people from other countries because, one, they don't get properly paid or taken care of in this country. Two, they don't have the equipment to work with. Think about it. They probably will be here taking care of Nigerians if shit was being done right in the first place. Think about it. But here, Nigerians, the politicians and the rich, everyone who can afford it, every time they're sick, they just take a jet and they fly out of the country. Our president, of course, has a history of that, and a host of other politicians. So that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, imagine if you had if you pay and treat your doctors well, if you cater and make sure that the hospitals are catered to or catered for, and it's well equipped, a lot of Nigerians probably will still be here, and the hospitals might be able to save your lives or the lives of your loved ones and relatives. So when people actually steal from the coffers of government and divert or siphon funds, all these just tells me that they're actually stealing from themselves. That's what it means. They're fucking stealing from themselves. Haha. So the drama between Dbanj and his accuser continues. Dbanj yesterday sued Seyitan Babatayo for 1.5 billion naira. Yo, man, I need to ask before I continue. Like, seriously, when people sue people, are they not supposed to take into consideration whether those people can actually pay, or are people just allowed to just put whatever figure they like? Because that's how it's looking, man. It's looking like you can step on my toe and I can decide to just sue you for 10 billion. If I can just have access to a lawyer, I can just fucking just sue you for whatever fucking amount, because it doesn't even fucking make sense. Like, where's she gonna get 1.5 billion naira for? Really think about it. It's just ridiculous, isn't it? Like, why don't you do something realistic? Like, she embarrassed me. Okay, I can understand the damages, the withdrawn endorsements or partnerships or whatever it is that pertains to your business that she may have dented or affected by these allegations. But 1.5 billion naira, bro, Dbanj, you know she can't pay that. Let's be honest. Like, I'm just honest, being curious. I want to know, can people just say whatever they want, like just put in any fucking figure? Is that how it works? Because 1.5 billion though, it just seems like you're not serious. Anyway, Dbanj is suing her for 1.5 billion naira for alleging that he raped her in a Lagos hotel in 2018. Lawsuit was signed by Dbanj himself and presented to the High Court of the Federal Capital Territory by his lawyer. Okay, now, in the suit, he claimed that the accusation has caused him embarrassment, ridicule, derision, marital disharmony. Really? Your wife don't believe you, bro? Mental agony. Totally get that part. Especially when you're being dragged on social media and psychological trauma. Yep, you're definitely gonna need counseling, Dbanj, because, boy, the internet never forgets. Dbanj also requested in the document that his accuser pays him 1 billion naira to cover for the general damages that her actions have caused. Like, seriously, 1 billion. Man. Anyway, so it's a back and forth. Thought you wanted to know if you're interested in keeping up what's going on with that lawsuit. That's what's happening. Don't forget, I mentioned on this podcast some weeks ago that, yeah, she had actually taken this up and it's been looked into. So this is some kind of a countersuit or something. We'll see how it plays out. I'll keep you abreast. I'll be following this because, yo, justice has to be done. Oh yeah, Hush Puppy, that's another big one. He made his first court appearance in an American court where the FBI alleged that he attempted to dupe an English Premier League football club of £100 million. Now, am I the only one that stops sometimes to just think about Hush Puppy and go like, what the fuck was this nigga thinking? Honestly, because sometimes I just pause and I think, like, I would give a lot to just, like, you know how people say a penny for your thoughts? I mean, I'll be like a million for your thoughts right now, bro. Because, fuck. This was a guy who was clearly doing some illegal shit. And yet will not keep quiet. And yet never kept quiet. But was busy flaunting his ill-gotten wealth and also had the effrontery to call out people, hardworking people, and insult them and ridicule them. Come on, man. You know what? Fuck you, Hush Puppy. Hush Puppy and others committed a business email compromise scam that defrauded a client of a New York-based law firm out of approximately 350.6 million naira in October 2019. I guess when you make that kind of money illegally, you can come on social media and just curse people out and call people poor, because not everybody is a thief like you, asshole. Hush Puppy conspired to launder funds stolen in $14.7 million, that's about 5.5 billion naira, cyber heist from a foreign financial institution in February 2019, in which the stolen money was sent to bank accounts around the world. Yep. Trying to hide the money. That's how they do it. They just bounce that money all around the world. Hush Puppy provided a co-conspirator with two bank accounts in Europe that he anticipated each would receive 2.1 billion naira of the fraudulently obtained funds. He made his first appearance in a U.S. court. Yes, this week in Chicago, according to a press release from the U.S. Department of Justice. And according to United States Department of Justice, Hush Puppy arrived in America this week, just like we heard. So it's been confirmed. And you can actually read the rap sheet and the transcribed version of the proceedings in court and how detailed the FBI went in investigating this case. Yo, people are saying he's going to get like 20 years thereabout in a U.S. jail. Let's see how that pans out. But I mean, for the way he has insulted people and looked down on people who are hardworking people and honest people, yo, that guy, he deserves everything he's getting. So the big drama that went on recently also was the DSTV thing. Now, a lot of people said DSTV is exploiting Nigerians. I don't know where Nigerians got that from, but I think that's been made clear right now, and I think it's safe to say that Nigerians know right now that we are not, contrary to what people say. And I don't know where people are getting that shit from. I don't know where they're getting that shit from, talking about how DSTV should be pay-per-view now. And I think I also heard that NBC said that DSTV should reverse their rates, like all types of shit. Like, where is the energy, NBC? When salaries of radio workers are not paid, where is that energy? Like, when are we ever going to be realistic and honestly just talk about this shit? Like, tell us, where is the energy, NBC? When salaries of workers are not paid, salaries of workers in radio stations, like the drama that has been going on at a radio station in Imo State. I'm not going to mention the radio station, but we've all seen it on social media, how staff have been arrested and all kinds of drama about salaries not being paid for however long. And it's radio silence from NBC. Nobody says a thing. I haven't heard a word, a pip from NBC regarding this situation and other situations happening in Lagos and every other part of Nigeria. But whoa. DSTV, which is a private enterprise, looks at the cost of doing business and says, and this is not me caping for DSTV. No, this is not what it is. But I can get the very essence of having a free or capitalist system. I mean, it's just like, look, everyone has a right to do business and fix their prices however they feel. That's the whole essence of having a free market economy, isn't it? Why are we so It's crazy. And I'm particularly really pissed with NBC because I think that they've misplaced their priority and they've lost their way. Like, honestly, that's genuinely how I feel about NBC. Meddling and dealing with things that don't matter. Let me mention another one. And I don't know whether OAPs get this or presenters or whatever nomenclature or whatever thing they call themselves. The thing is this, though. How is it that someone builds a reputation on radio or TV, working 10, 15, 20 years on radio, gain some notoriety and cannot use their platform to endorse a product and cannot be paid for a hype? And NBC actually goes as far as clamping down on a radio station whose presenter is hyping a product and not even mentioning or taking into consideration the fact that the person who is running or driving that show is the reason why the advert agency decided in the first place that they were going to place the adverts on that particular radio station. You see what I'm saying? Like, a radio presenter, say the morning host, is doing so well, his ratings is up, a lot of people fuck with him, and the advert agencies, they look at the ratings and they say, or however it is that they get their information, and they say, you know what, this guy is killing shit out here, let's put your product on this guy's show. Let's say his name is Steve, and they say, no, we will put your product on Steve's show. So Steve's show gets a hype. The reason why people listen at that time is because of Steve. Take Steve out of that equation and the ratings will probably drop, right? People listen because they like Steve. Maybe he's funny. Maybe his music is great. Maybe he talks shit that they like. Whatever the reason is, people like Steve. And they listen because of Steve. And here you are saying, Steve doesn't deserve to get money as a result of doing something he knows so well, which is bringing money to not just him, but also to the company and also to the agency. Because if Steve wasn't even there in the first place, probably the agency, the advert agency, wouldn't have gotten that. And I've been in radio for a minute and I kind of understand how that works. And I remember when I was on OAP, sometimes the advert agencies will call you and say, yo, we want to put this on your show. I mean, there are lots of other shows, but they want to put this on your show. And then NBC says, no. No, Elvis, you can never do that. You can never endorse. You can never hype a product and get paid for it. And the station gets paid for it. They say it's legal. That shit is ridiculous. People who are footballers, for instance, why do they get endorsements? You see them on your TV screens every now and then. Big time footballers like Ronaldo. Ronaldo's money, bulk of his money comes from endorsements, isn't it? Lionel Messi, a lot of his money is not on the pitch itself. It comes outside of the pitch as well, right? That's it, because they're so good at what they do. Why is it different? The person who knows how to host a show well is a talent. The person who knows how to play football is also a talent. One can benefit from the talent, the other cannot. Isn't that some type of backward shit in 2020 and nobody's talking about it? And this, I didn't even plan this, and I know I'm going off on a tangent here, but this is something that broadcasters really need to sit down and think about and ask themselves, like, what are we doing? How are we going to address this? Because it needs to be addressed. Musicians, actors, they all benefit from their talent. Why can't broadcasters benefit from their talents? Why? And the argument is, you're paid a salary. Whoa, Lionel Messi is paid a zillion times more than any broadcaster is paid in a week. But yet, he can endorse a bunch of sodas and other products. Why is FIFA not saying, hey, Lionel Messi, you're paid a social amount every week, so therefore you cannot endorse this soda? Because it would be stupid to do that. That's why. Like, this has gone on for so long, and I think one day we need to just wake up and say, yo, this is wrong. Pay for the airtime and pay the talent. And it's not a crime. As long as it's not a crime. Listen to other radio stations across the world, terrestrial radio across the world. It's done everywhere else. Why is it different in Nigeria? It doesn't make any sense. If you're good at something, you're supposed to be rewarded for it, not punished for it. It's the same way they just did some funny amendment recently about content, and they're literally saying that you have to share your content with everyone, even when you go outside of you go inside of your pocket and pay for that content. NBC is actually expecting you to share that content. That's in their last amendment. Ridiculous shit. It's the same way that it's regressive. Now, you need to encourage people to be better at what they do. And the radio stations, I think, also need to encourage presenters to be great at what they do so that they can see the rewards, or they can begin to benefit and enjoy the reward of the hard work. Give them a reason to go over and beyond so that they can stand out in their ratings, and knowing that those ratings will translate into money in their pockets. And then we wouldn't be having all these conversations about payola. You know why? Because if a presenter is doing very well on their shows and they're getting money from hypes, then they wouldn't be asking an up-and-coming artist to pay money to get their songs played. But, of course, we don't want to have that conversation. We want to talk about how DSTV is increasing tariffs. That's what NBC is interested in. BS. Now, let me get into this. Let me just quickly just reel out the numbers, because numbers don't lie. Now, compact prices, DSTV in Nigeria is 6,975. Right? Now, DSTV Ghana, that's 140. Okay, let me use the dollar as, because they're all different frequencies, as the benchmark or bottom line. So that's 6,975. That's $15.05. DSTV Ghana is $25.45. What's that? That's about $10 more, at least $10 more than we're paying in Nigeria. Kenya, $24.55. That's also almost $10 more than we're paying in Nigeria. And I think even in South Africa, $21.11, that's about $4 more than we're paying in Nigeria. So people are always in a rush to tweet and say things they don't even understand, but the truth is we're paying less. And DSTV and MultiChoice Group released their numbers last week. And you know what? I think a lot of Nigerians really need to just sometimes, without just being in a rush to tweet or to complain, it's always best to just take some time out, do the Googles yourself, and investigate shit for yourself, so you don't go online and just sound so fucking dumb talking about how we are being exploited. No, we're not. And I really hate to go back to this COVID-19 shit, but I was pissed off when I heard the Minister of Health, Dr. Sagye Ahanire, on Thursday say that he needs funds to confirm and to prove that the Madagascar drug is safe. Now, I'm going to read verbatim what I have here so that you can follow this, because it doesn't make any sense. The minister spoke at the presidential task force briefing on COVID-19 Abuja. He said initial findings on the solution, the Madagascar drug that is, showed that the primary plant used in its production is grown in Nigeria. He however said further research on its efficacy will be conducted when research fund for the solution is approved. Which makes me wonder, all the money that was being donated and contributed and all of the billions that we heard about, what is it for? The fuck are you saying? Further research on its efficacy, and he waits for funds. We got a long way to go, bro. It's just annoying and it's a distraction. So I'm just gonna fucking go back on track. Just thought I should put that out there in case you haven't heard. That's why we don't have the fucking Madagascar drugs available yet. Okay, so one of the most fun stories this week was Augusto Alsina coming out to suggest that he was actually sleeping with Jada Pinkett. Damn, that story went, we all just went crazy for that story, bro. Like, he literally suggested that they were in a relationship because Will Smith and Jada Pinkett were in an open relationship. Wild, I know, right? So, but if you are following the story and you're interested in that, you probably know by now that Jada Pinkett has come out to say no, that didn't happen. And now we don't know what to believe, honestly. Okay, so basically, just a quick recap. After a long-term close relationship with Will Smith, all this, and Jada Pinkett, of course, Augusto Alsina said that he was having an affair with Will Smith's wife. And the affair, obviously, from the way he said it, suggested that it was a romantic affair with Jada Smith, not just some type of, you know, an affair, proper affair. They were slapping skins, or he was hitting skins, as we used to say back in the day. Basically said that he was, doing that. And in his defense, he said that he had a long conversation with Will Smith, and Will Smith okayed it, and he said he gave him his blessings. Yeah, if you haven't heard that, well, welcome to 2020. That's how sick and crazy everything is right now. Everything is in reverse and crazy and stupid. Like, just imagine that. Just let that sink in for a minute. Anyway, so we all know that Jada Pinkett has denied it to, of course, a rep. But Will Smith has also said that has never happened, that he never gave his blessing to Augusto Alsina. So there you go. Here's the thing. Obviously, the couple have denied. Augusto Alsina says it happened. We don't know who to believe. We don't know who's lying. But this is what we know for sure. We know, first of all, that you're a fool. Think about it. The number of women in the world, they're like a lot of women in this world. There are lots of women in Port Harcourt. You know, not to even talk about Nigeria and the fucking entire world. But you think it's okay to date someone who's married with kids. You're a fool, August. You're a foolish August. You're more fully... Look, man. Secondly, let's even assume that you actually did it, because there are actually some people out here fucking people's wives. So let's not even act like it's not happening, or let's not even act like some women out here are not fucking single boys. So what makes you so stupid, August, is the fact that you actually go on an interview and you actually said it, like, with your chest, that you fucked someone's wife. And that you had a conversation with the person. And he, like, I would like to be a fly on the wall to hear how that shit went. Like, okay. Yo, Will, what's up, man? This is just me, you know, just trying to think in my head how this conversation would have played out. Like, yo, what's going on, Will? And he's like, cool. I'm doing well, August. How are you? Like, I'm chilling. Okay. So I wanted to talk to you about this thing. I mean, it's been on my mind for a minute now. I think it's overdue that we talked about it. Okay, sure. What's that? And August goes like, yo, man, It's your wife, bro. Just wanted to talk to you about your wife, bro. Really? What about my wife, man? You know Jada. Oh, Jada? Are you guys on a first name basis now like that? Oh, wow. Yeah, man. You know, me and Jada, we've been kicking it. We've been hanging out. Bro, I can't even lie, man. Her ass is tight, bro. You know, I like, she's my type, man. I'm feeling her. I'm feeling your wife, bro. I'm honestly feeling your, I'm so into your wife. You see her butt, man. When I see her butt, bro, her butt is so, oh, man. When I see her, I can't even imagine. Like, you know, the other time she was on the red carpet with that dress, that slit. Oh, my God. I had a boner, man, for days just thinking about her. So I basically just told her, man, that I would like to fuck her, man. Yeah, man, I'd like to fuck your wife, bro. Oh, really? You want to fuck my wife? Yeah, man, I like to take her from the back, man. You know how nice her butt is, man. I just like to smack that butt like, what's my name, Jada? What's my name? Yeah, I like to do that shit to your wife, bro. Yo, you know, man, you know we all bros, man. You know it's bros over hoes, man. So, yo, you got my blessings. Yeah, oh, gosh, you got my blessings. Yo, fuck my wife, man. Yo, fuck my wife. You totally have my blessing, man. Fuck her, man. Fuck her. Oh, is that what you wanted to talk to me about? Yeah, man, that's what I wanted to talk to you about, man. Because, man, yo, man, I like you. Just talking about your wife right now is giving me a hard on, bro. Fuck. Man, thanks, man. This means a lot to me, Will. Man, you're a cool guy, man. You're a legend, bro. You're great. You're the best, man. So I can bone your wife now. Whoa, that's just great. Let me hang up, man. Just hang up, man. Let me call your wife right now, man. Shit. She's going to be excited to hear that we can fuck now. Whoa. Yep. So basically, in my head, that's how that conversation played out. It's crazy. So I'm going to wait. Like everyone else, for the Red Table, you know, the show she does on Facebook, where she's going to sit down and basically talk about this shit. Because, yes, she's definitely going to have to address this. Whether Will Smith is going to be there, we don't know yet. But I hope he's there so that he can also talk about this shit, because this shit is retarded. Okay, I think I've talked enough. It's 51 minutes in. This wasn't supposed to be that long. But, yes, it always is longer than I expect. On that note, thank you so much for listening to How to Get Away with Slander, a podcast by Elvis the Menace. Please remember to share, comment, subscribe, whatever it is you, on however it is you listen to this podcast. I appreciate you for taking the time out to check this out. Like I said, it's available on Audio Mac. All you have to do is just after listening, just share the link with someone, with a friend or something. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to from, Google Podcasts, wherever, just subscribe or something, man. Yeah, yep. Thank you so much. Appreciate. I'm going to leave you with this one, Wobble Up by Preacher Kings. He's a kid from PH City. Just stumbled on his music a couple of days ago. This is not bad at all. So just listen to it and have yourself a fantastic weekend. I'm out. Bonafide original. Strictly confidential. Sir. Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised. Yeah. Terrific. All my PH boys in the hood, bubble up. All my niggas, bros in the hood, bubble up. All my light-skinned girls and the pretty dark girls and the shutters waiting up for the night, bubble up. All my PH boys in the hood, bubble up. All my niggas, bros in the hood, bubble up. All my light-skinned girls and the pretty dark girls and the shutters waiting up for the night, bubble up. All my D-line boys in the street, bubble up. In the club, hit the VIP at the top when we step in. All the girls can't get enough. Put the handy right here, can I please get the cup? All black, everything, and I don't deal with drugs. How much is the pill, nigga, pass me the rub? And the drip comes with the finesse and the luck. So I can lumber all day, bub daddy to the sucks. When I'm up in the hood, put it up for the man. And the ladies cut right in my web, Spider-Man. You should put it on me, oh yeah. You should put it on me, oh yeah, yeah. When I'm up in the hood, put it up for the man. And the ladies cut right in my web, Spider-Man. You should put it on me, oh yeah. You should put it on me, oh yeah. All my PH boys in the hood, bubble up. All my niggas, bros in the hood, bubble up. All my light-skinned girls and the pretty dark girls and the shutties with it up for the night, bubble up. All my PH boys in the hood, bubble up. All my niggas, bros in the hood, bubble up. All my light-skinned girls and the pretty dark girls and the shutties with it up for the night.
brass boys, no curse words. You decrease, you demand none of those words. Can't you just be polite, be like me now? Carry fine girls, safe like two or three now. It's fire in the booth and you know that. You're impressed with the flow and I know that. I be light skin boy, yeah, but the crew black. Yeah, the king came back with a new track. All my PH boys in the hood, bubble up. All my lingers bros in the hood, bubble up. All my light skin girls and the pretty dark girls. And the shutties waiting up for the night, bubble up. All my PH boys in the hood, bubble up. All my lingers bros in the hood, bubble up. All my light skin girls and the pretty dark girls. And the shutties waiting up for the night, bubble up, yeah.
Entertaining them.